All God's people said?
Amen.
All right. Take your Bible, your smart pad, smartphone, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And let's stand together as I read from God's Word. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. And Lord, we just are thankful for the opportunity to come here to praise you and worship you corporately for giving the greatest gift that has ever been and ever will be given to mankind. Thank you for every person, every family that's represented here. They have shown forth their allegiance to you and the priority that you're to be worshipped first and foremost, especially on this day. Pray now that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you as I share from your word the greatest story ever told. And Lord, I pray today that people will be saved and people will make their minds up as believers to serve you as Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I invite you today to mine and Delane's first apartment and seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Our first Christmas together in 1978. We were so disappointed when she found out that she had to work on Christmas Day and we could not come home and see our Georgia family members until the day after Christmas. Also recall that when you opened the door to that apartment, we had an orange vinyl couch. And we had gone out and purchased us an orange high-low shag carpet. So we made up our mind that picture's upside down, but you get the effect that sometimes you thought that high-low shag carpet was on the roof. We went in search of our first Christmas tree. It was a cold Texas night. We're disturbed by what we see. They didn't have any spruce. They didn't have any white pines. And finally, we just gave up and we splurged. And we bought us a white pine flocked tree. Now, I want you to know, whoever invented the hypodermic needle got the idea from one of these pines. We were so excited as we brought that home and we put it in on that high-low shag carpet. And we could sit on our orange vinyl couch and just gaze at how beautiful that was. But I want to tell you what we did. The day after Christmas, we went to Augusta and we stayed home for about a week. When we came back, that thing was so dry. Now I'm going to warn you about getting a flock tree. If you have high-low shag carpet, you'll be getting needles and the flocking out of your carpet until July of the next year. We were so excited that Christmas also. I'd saved up my money working at the grocery store, and I'd gone to a special department store and bought Delane a gray wool coat with a fur collar. And I had it wrapped in a box about that high and about that square in red brick paper. Now, if I wanted a divorce after 39 years of marriage, I would have brought the picture where she's posing with that coat over her house coat. But I decided I would leave that one at home. We look at all the decorations. We're pointed back to the reason for the season. And we think about Jesus. What a wonderful child. Notice the novelty of his birth there. This is brand new. Never one had been born like this in verse 18. We read here there are two people, Mary and Joseph. Mary was alone chosen of God to be the vehicle through which he would bring Jesus into the world. And as you consider the unusual means of Christ's birth, there are a couple of things that make this great novelty a mystery. First of all, you notice it's a commonplace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. By leaving Nazareth to go down to Bethlehem, Joseph was fulfilling the prophecy of Micah 5:2. We find these words, but thou Bethlehem Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Interesting to me that Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus came to be what? The bread of life. The other thing we notice about Bethlehem is a very respectable kind of town. It had a great reputation. It was a common town filled with common, ordinary people, but this was the city, a simple city, God ordained where his son would be born. Notice that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. But the prophecy was given for Christ to be born in Bethlehem. Thus God ordained for a decree to be issued for the Roman emperor and the census be taken that included the providence of Judea. Now notice this demanded Joseph, being of the lineage of David, should go to Bethlehem to be enrolled. Thus God slipped his hand into the glove of history and arranged for Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem. Listen to Luke 2:6. That while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. God chose a simple place, a simple person, to give birth to an extraordinary Savior. So God chose the most unusual, undesirable, unlikely of places for his son to be born. A common place and then a common person. We read in our text of the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name's Mary. Now many in religious circles today have elevated her to a place of worship. That practice is nowhere found in Scripture. She deserves honor. She deserves respect. But I want you to know, when she held that little baby, she was holding the Savior that she needed for her soul as well. James Hastings wrote of Mary. Mary first meets us at a time when she had scarcely crossed the threshold of womanhood. There's very little known about her. You can turn to Luke chapter 3 and you will find some of her genealogy. And we read that she was of the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David. And outside of that, when we meet Mary, she was just a little village maiden. A simple, common, ordinary lady. However, the ministry is that God chose an ordinary place and an ordinary person to accomplish an extraordinary event. Now, I've got a question for you, and I don't know the total answer to this. This is my speculation. Why did God choose an ordinary place and an ordinary person for the extraordinary Savior to be born? Here's why I think. So man could not take any credit for what took place. He is the God who is able to do abundantly more than we ever ask or think. Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29. Not many wise, men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yes, and things which are not, common to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You can have all the degrees, your master's degrees, your double doctor's degrees, and still not be used of God in a mighty way. I think about Abraham. He said, "Lord, I'm too old for Sarah and me to have a child." Then the next thing you know, there's a baby shower in assisted living as their son was born. You think about this. Isaac was a daydreamer. But Isaac, I want you to know, turned out to be a great man of God. Moses was a man who stuttered. But God said, "I want you to lead the children of Israel so they'll be freed from Egyptian bondage." And he says, "Well, God, what do I tell Pharaoh?" He says, "Tell him, I am sent you." Even a person who stutters has a hard time stuttering over "I am," because there's no T's in either one of those words. I think about Jonah. He was a runaway. I think about Peter denying Christ. Job filed bankruptcy, and Zacchaeus was too small, and Lazarus was dead. And look what God did with their lives. The Bible is filled with ordinary places, ordinary people, to accomplish extraordinary things. Notice the nature of His birth. You know, no one has ever been born of a virgin prior to this time, and nobody ever will again. This was the uniqueness of Christ's birth, that He was conceived in the womb of a virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we see the divine seed was planted in the womb by God, the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call His name Emmanuel." Why was it necessary for Jesus to be born of a virgin? And here's the answer. Every child since the birth of Cain and Abel has been born with a sin nature, an innate desire and tendency to do that which is wrong. Sin violates the law of God. Left to itself, our sinful nature will always choose sin over righteousness. We look at Romans 3:11. "There is none that understand. There's none that seek after God." Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Now here is where the deity prevailed. A virgin birth. A child born without a sin nature. We're reminded that that sin nature is passed down through the father, not the mother. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Have you thought about this? Jesus came to trade His sinless nature for our sinful nature. He came to trade His righteousness for all of our unrighteousness. Notice how this is just a simple marriage. In verse 18, the mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That word espoused simply means to ask for a woman's hand in marriage. This is an area of great debate and division among liberal theologians as they seek to use that term, espouse, to try to prove that Mary and Joseph were intimately involved premaritally and they were having a baby outside of wedlock. Harry Emerson Fosdick, thought by many to be one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, said, "I want to assure you that there's no evidence whatsoever to prove the virgin birth of Jesus Christ." Bishop John Sprong, in his book, Born of a Woman, writes, "Jesus was not born of a virgin, since Mary had probably been raped." Bishop Robertson, another theologian, said, "The virgin birth is a story on the level of an handicap comic.
Some say she was raped by a Roman soldier and conceived. Folks, that's not liberal theology. That is absolute heresy of the chiefest kind. The virgin birth is not incidental. It's not accidental. It's not coincidental. It is fundamental. God orchestrated the events that unfolded through a natural arrangement. Now notice, Mary was espoused to Joseph. You know, back in those days, you had three phases leading up to the marriage. You had that time of engagement. Now think about this. Oftentimes when you were a child, your parents would pick out your spouse. Can you imagine that? Now, some of your parents would have done a better job than you did picking out your spouse, but we don't have time for that. There are kids screaming in the nursery. I heard them before I came in here. We've got to move along. But that engagement period lasts for a while. Then they reach the point of the espousal, and that went on for a year. And then the husband, the groom would come after that year, and then they would have the wedding proper. That was the final stage. Now, it was here where the vows were exchanged and the marriage was consummated. But notice it was a very simple marriage, but notice also it was a supernatural maternity. Mary was espoused to Joseph. In other words, Mary and Joseph were involved in the second stage of the wedding procedure. They were betrothed and legally engaged. Look at verse 18. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 25. Joseph knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. That word, know there, carries the connotation of sexual intimacy. Joseph did not know Mary sexually until he brought forth their firstborn son. Notice, before they came together, as husband and wife, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's why the angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I find that hard to believe. Well, I feel sorry for you. Have you ever thought about this? The first man got here without a man or a woman. Have you thought about it? Old Adam, think about this. Eve showed up. How did she get here? She got here without a woman and just a piece of a rib out of a man. So what's so hard about God causing the Holy Spirit so that Mary would conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus? You say, well, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, you're right. It's impossible from a human standpoint, but not impossible from the heavenly viewpoint. Now notice the news of the birth. R.L. Moyer said this, "The God who brought forth the motherless woman Eve from the body of a man Adam brought forth a fatherless man Jesus from the body of a woman Mary." And some people say it makes no difference whether or not Jesus was born as of a virgin. Listen, only divine birth could provide a divine sonship. And only divine sonship could provide a divine Savior. And only a divine Savior could provide a divine salvation for you and for me. And notice the prophesied Savior. The angel of the Lord had just informed Joseph of the sovereign plan, program, and purpose. And then in verse 22 and 23, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, God with us. But look at the promise fulfilled in verse 25. "Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." You know, of all the names Mary and Joseph could have given that newborn baby, they gave his name Jesus. You know, it's probably a good idea they did that, because God sent an angel and said, call his name Jesus. And I don't know about you, when we got a choice, the best thing that we ought to do is obey God. I want you to notice that verse also says his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save men from their sins. Look at that little word, save. In the Greek text there, it means to clear up a disease. I'm going to tell you what. I'm getting tired of going to the dermatologist. Dermatologist said, sir, I'm sorry, but your skin is losing its pigment. I said, really? Try this cream. So I did that, and I keep changing colors. And so I went back, and they gave me another expensive cream. I went back a third time, gave me another expensive cream. And the lady looked at me, and she said, sir, there's nothing we can do. You're losing your color. I said, well, I don't believe that's cancer or heart disease. So I ain't got a problem with that. I'll just keep losing my colors, coming off my neck, coming off my hands. Went in there the other day. I keep breaking out with these big splotches on my face. And she says, well, she says, try some of this cream. I said, last time I was here, you told me to go to the pharmacy, and that cream was $1,000. And I didn't buy it. Don't give me any more of your $1,000 cream. She came out with tubes of samples that were that big. And you know what? I still got red spots all over my face and back and my chest and my arm. All I wanted to do is clear up my disease. She said, well, maybe there's a fungus growing on you. I thought, well, I shower at least every Friday night or Saturday, at least once. Give me somebody that knows what they're doing. Our disease is sin. Hopelessness, helplessness. If you die in sin, you spend a Christless eternity in a place called hell. He came to save us from our sins. The only one who may cleanse us. The name of Jesus is unprecedented, unparalleled, unsurpassed, invincible, incomprehensible, irresistible. Pastor on December 14th, 2008, got up in front of his congregation and he said, I gave them a crazy challenge. He said, you know how every Christmas we hear about the contesting of manger scenes by municipalities every year? He said, instead of putting up a manger scene, I issued a challenge to my congregation. He said, in the week preceding Christmas, I would like for some of you to volunteer to dress up like Jesus and go out individually. Go to work, go to the bookstore, go to the coffee shop, go to Kroger and Publix. Carry on your normal routines, just dress like Jesus. You know how many volunteered? 400. Can you imagine that? The week before Jesus. One guy said he was in a coffee shop and he was reading the newspaper and just drinking coffee in his Jesus costume. Said, man walked up to him. Now here's what the pastor said. Don't preach to anybody. Just tell them why you're in a Jesus costume and just share your testimony with them. Not one person complained in that whole city. In fact, all they got was positive feedback. They were dressed like Jesus and out sharing the gospel. You know, we're born again. We trust Jesus by faith. We're adopted into His family. And we close our eyes to this world. We're going to be with Him forever and ever. He's in us. And we'll dwell with Him forever. You know, I love that passage in Philippians. It says, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, what a wonderful name.